We thank you, dear God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for sanctifying your own self on our behalf, that we can be sanctified by your living words of truth. Your word is wonderful, Lord. It is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the bone of the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the spirit. Such a wonderful power that we all need on this earth as we make all of this decision to understand all events of life, all conflicts of life, and to know the right responses to it. We need your word to be written on the tablets of our hearts, to comfort us in time of storm, and to give us peace, and to give us direction, to give us help, to give us encouragement, to give us power to know and to do your blessed goodwill and pleasure in our lives. We thank you for your love that is sufficient to carry us through all of the journey on this earth. We thank you for the gift and power of prayer on our own behalf, as your Holy Spirit always groan and intercede on our behalf, on behalf of our families and loved ones, on behalf of your church, our neighbors, and all of those in all nations of the world. We thank you for the evidence of faith that we see through the mighty working power of your Spirit in all the earth. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift and the power of prayer and of praise, of worship, and of your blessed time that you have given us on your Sabbath day to commune with you and to receive revival and rejuvenation to our wasted strength throughout the past 6 days, and to be prepared for the blessings of the coming week. For Karen and Carol and all other people who had some kind of accidents or surgeries, and those who are sick in hospitals, in homes, and those, O Lord, who are sick under bridges and on the streets, and those who lack medicine and doctors. O Lord Jesus, may this moment of great tragedy and this moment of suffering, and in the midst of all uncertainties, may you introduce yourself anew in a mighty personal way as our God and Creator, who never made a mistake in creating human beings, that you are alone their Savior and Redeemer from every sin and the curse and the suffering of sin. May you introduce yourself to them as the physician and healer who never lost a case. And may you provide their every need and fight their every battles along with us. And we pray that your Holy Spirit, who have given us great many gifts on this earth, guide us by your holy love to share the gift of your love in everywhere possible and in every way possible with every human being that you send our way. Now I pray that you continue to teach us about the power of your love and the traits of character we can and should possess in order to achieve your purpose in our lives and to prosper on this sinful earth, and then to gain the gift of life eternal. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us continue to open our Bible quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we've been talking about the greatest gift to receive, and that is the gift of love. Now, I want to ask you some questions. I want to tell you something important. This is perhaps a message that Satan is going to steal your mind away so you would not hear it. The message we have been talking about is really the cause of all of our sins, and it is the answers to all of our conflicts. If we just understand the theology of the Bible with our minds and don't take it into our hearts, we will end up in great conflicts, and the Holy Spirit will remind us of what we have heard here or what the devil has shut us out so we would not hear today. Okay? Love is the problem in our lives. Love is the answer. Love is not a word. Love carries tremendous traits of character in which we struggle through. As we live on this earth, we're going to have to make many decisions every day. It is not a decision that makes us or breaks us. And we have learned something important in the last few weeks, that God's wise children do not seek after success. Very odd theology, isn't it?
Are you trying to succeed in something? God's people do not seek after success. God's white people seek after prosperity. There is always failure in success. But there is always prosperity in failure. Heavy words, in which I cannot elaborate on because we've already gone through that. And we hopefully that the Holy Spirit will kind of help you connect with this. There is often, if not always, failure in success. You know, let us very quickly talk about, let's say, a student trying to work very hard to get A's, because that's success, right?
Yes.
That's success. Your GPA got to be high. If you are to be considered intelligent and someone of great significance in the eyes of your peers and the eyes of your teachers, that's why you are in school. You got to be smart enough to do your homework, to bring your projects on time, to study hard and to be prepared for the test and to excel. And many students go there and get their A's. But I just say, lots of failures in success. What kind of failure can you presume in that? Many of these students don't sleep at night. Their health fails. They don't care, they take care of the body that God has given them in a proper way because they have to achieve success. And their immune system drops, and around the age of 40, they end up getting lots of sicknesses, even though they excelled in school, but they got lots of sicknesses. Also, they fail in social relationships. Also, imagine the other students who actually resort to cheating, for instance, to achieve success. Lots of failures in earthly success. But there's lots of prosperity in spiritual failure. What a hope that is. What a hope that is. This past week, a father called me and said, I need your help, please. My daughter is very, very distressed and she's crying. She cannot eat. She cannot sleep. And I need your help because my English is poor and I'm unable to communicate to her teacher. And I said, what happened? He said, you know, she stays up all night. She studies very hard. She gave all of her projects on time, all of her homework. She got almost A's. And now it's reaching the end of the quarter and her grade is 89.92. And that is a B plus. And she is not sleeping, she is not eating, she is getting real sickness, and please do something to communicate with her teacher.
B is a good grade.
Lots of failure in success. I felt bad because it's very hard, they are not of the Christian faith. And it's going to take a lot of me to really introduce a sermon like that to the whole family. I have to change their knowledge of faith in order to change some of their belief about life, in order to help them value life in all the right way, in order to help them make really good and wise decisions for long life, and in order to help him develop the traits of character that Jesus is trying to help us develop, because it is those traits of character that stays with us and make us or break us in life. I feel bad, but I've been praying to express the love of Jesus to other people unconditional. And I went at night and prayed. I talked to the young lady on the phone and I said, what happened? I feel so sad. And she was brokenhearted and she was fighting her case how she really deserved an A. And to her own credit, she did 4 projects that the teacher graded but never posted it on the board. And I asked her, what did you do about it? Did you talk to the teacher? She said, yes. And she went to the teacher and told the teacher that I have done this homework and he didn't post it there. And the teacher answered, said, well, you are concerned too much, you know. When you go to college, 3.9 is not that different from 4.0. Don't worry about it. And he wouldn't change it. And then the young lady discovered that there's another classmate who got a little lower grade, even including all of her projects. And he decided to bump her up to A- rather than B+. And she went back to the teacher to fight her case, and the teacher said, "All right, don't worry about it. I will knock her grade down anyway." You know, that's a trial of faith, isn't it? And based on what I heard from her, I said, "Okay, I am going to pray, and I'm going to send an email to your teacher." To make the story short, the teacher got the email and decided to change her grade to an A. But I feel very saddened, very, very saddened. And I will pray to take the time to tell her. Do you see how many valuable things in life we lose seeking earthly success? I'm going to tell you. Go ahead, take anything. You want to succeed in relationship, you will fail. You want to succeed at work, you will fail. Anything you want to succeed at on this earth, you will fail. Unless you are seeking after spiritual prosperity. Because in spiritual prosperity, even when you do your best and you fail, it still blesses you because it gives you the true traits of character through the knowledge of God to succeed on this earth in a spiritual way. Because as Christians, every day we'll be making good and bad decisions. If you don't learn from them, you have failed. So when we look at what Paul is saying this. He said, "Listen to me, I'm highly educated. I have been recognized by the Sanhedrin. And I have learned at the hand of one of the greatest teachers, Gamaliel. I have achieved excellence. Yet with all of this excellence, I was a fool. I went about to believe in myself and my achievement to the point that I have persecuted Christ and his people and caused the murder and the suffering of great many people." I said, I want to tell you something and you examine for yourself. If you got the greatest knowledge, even if you understand the prophecies of the Bible and know how to share them with others, even if you try to use your money to do some favor to the poor, if you don't have the traits of character of love, you're nothing. Because prosperity comes only if the love of God is working in you and me to transform our character every day after his own. So we have been examining some of those traits of character. And listen, when you look at every trait of character, it is very much the root cause of our conflicts on earth. And it is a tremendous struggle to obtain them. Especially if all of your life you will learn to succeed rather than to prosper. Hard to find those traits of character handy. So let us look at them again. And see how we are doing. Are we prospering? Are we succeeding? The Apostle Paul said here in verse 4, "Love suffer long." Are you that patient? Do you really suffer long? Or right in short distance you are ready to blow a fuse? Do you suffer long with those who are dependent upon you? Do you suffer long with those who abuse you and call you all manners of name? Do you suffer long when you do everything and you don't get the reward you think you deserve? Do you still endure as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, if you don't build this, you cannot prosper on this earth. As a matter of fact, if you don't develop it, you're going to develop diseases. Heart disease, strokes, heart attacks. Yes, it comes from that. Because you are unable to deal with life. You have not developed long suffering. And we already examined the word long suffering before. It's a trait of character that does not come merely by getting knowledge. It's one thing to get a degree. It's another thing to put the degree at work in the workplace. And you know, to go 4 years or 6 years of education, and to get your bachelor or your master's. And then you go to the workplace, they have to train you into how to put this knowledge into work. And guess what? It takes you a lifelong time in this work to really learn how to put all of this knowledge at work. You suffer long. You know, when I was interviewing for a job after graduating from Cal State, I graduated summa cum laude, whatever that means to people. I never really seek to graduate summa cum laude. I'd never seek to have A's. Didn't. But I really seek to get knowledge. You know, all of my professors know me by name because I read the book. Okay. I know how to solve some of these problems. Okay. I understand how it makes sense, but I don't know how it works in real world. And I always went to my professors to ask them, no, how does that work in the real world? One of them called me the Mr. Real World. I said, okay, I can do all of that. How does it work in banking?
Makes sense.
How does it work in accounting?
Right.
Who does that? I'm not a guy who does well with theory. I like to deal with facts. And so many students graduate. And when I was interviewing, some of the professors made comments that they are not seeking people from certain remarkable universities because of the attitude they bring. They think because they graduated from Stanford or Yale or Berkeley, no offense to those who graduated from Berkeley, because they graduated from these big names, they think that the world owes them something. They think they know it all. They said, we don't recruit from there. And it is very important to note what they are saying. Your knowledge, your GPA, your diploma and your status does not mean much. Your character does. Why do they go through interviews? Okay, whether you got straight A's or whether you got straight B's, you went through the same classes, but that does not tell the employer whether you know anything. You know how to get good grades. You know how to persevere and get good grades. But you have the character to survive the workplace. Wow. That is where people start to learn. Okay? It suffers long. This means you have to be willing to develop the character of Jesus all the days of your life on earth. And you have to be open for that if you really want to prosper. And we have dealt with the issue of is kind, envy not, vaunt not itself, is not puffed up. You know, unfortunately, all of these bad traits of character is found in the people who like to succeed. Because it is a zero-sum game. If I'm to win, someone else have to lose. And it's kind of sad that that is the facts of life. If you have two companies, okay, producing the same product. Two big major corporations producing the same products. They're all after the market, right? If it is the U.S. market, then they want the people in the U.S. to buy their product. So they bring all of the human resources, they bring all of their financial resources, and they have short and long-term strategic plans. How to steal the market from the competitor. So at the end, if they've done so well, they said, we have gained 30% of the market share. And so lost 15% of the market share. To them, that is success. It is not their goal, really, to see that their competition suffers. But it is their goal for them to succeed if they are to continue to exist. That is not the Christian way to live. It vaunt itself? No, we don't do that. And then it continues, saying, does not behave itself unseemingly. seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. And last week we dealt with rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Lordy, how many of these traits of character do you and I have? Now here's the second question. The time you invest, whether it's in school, in work, in playing sports, or Nintendo games, any of these activities is producing this kind of traits in you and me. That's life. That's real life. It's real life. You know, you are not going to eventually, if you're going to exist on this earth, you are not going to marry your computer. And you are not going to be raising cell phones. But people are married to those things. And they believe so strongly in those things. And actually they hug them and spend tremendous time with them. Is it producing this kind of traits in you? Life is relationships, right? It is relationship with God that is reflected in our relationship with man. Are we better equipped or ill-equipped in character? You see, teens and adults, they invest tremendous amount of time in things that does not build character, but then they have the best of relationships. They want the best of relationships. Does that make any sense? They actually invest in all of these negative traits of character that is not of the love of God, and then they wonder why relationships fall apart and result in greater hurt. So today we're going to be examining the next verse in which I want to spend some time on. I don't know if I'm going to finish everything today, but I will begin. Verse 7 says this, "The love of God that is best to seek after, bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things." Loaded, loaded, loaded. Bear all things. Believe all things. Endure all things. Hope for all things. You know, you will be able to understand this better if you are in sports. If you play softball or basketball or soccer like Andrew and Peter and myself. If you're a swimmer like Peter. If you play even Nintendo games, you will be able to understand this. What is so amazing? That when it comes to those sports and to those pleasures, even TV, you are able to bear long. And you continue to believe in your skills and in your team, whether you are praying or watching. And you continue to hope that they're going to do better and better. And you're ready to fight that battle till the end. Isn't that amazing? You believe all things. You bear all things. And then you endure. You feel the muscles ache and the knee pain and the foot pain. And you feel the headaches and the tension. And you are sweating. And you are enduring. Because you believe in your cause. And because you still hope. Even after you fail in that game, or even after your team failed, or even if you did not accomplish all the laps you want to do swimming, you still believe and hope that the next time you will do better. Isn't that something? You know, in the last football season, the Broncos were at the bottom of the standing of their own division. But they have practiced, bared all things, whatever the newspaper and the newscaster were saying about them. They believed in what they got. They endured. And they hoped. And they went to the playoffs. And everyone was talking about that miracle. Very good. You see, she still remember that. So when it comes to sports and the things of pleasure of this world, it seems that we are able to develop those traits of character naturally. So what is wrong with our spiritual nature? The very traits of character that we need every day for true prosperity and excellence in all achievements, we don't endure that long when we're reading the Bible. With our mind, we believe that the Word of God endures, that the Word of God is powerful, and it is. Mm-hmm. That the Word of God gives us the true knowledge of life that leads us in all understanding and in all wise decisions to really prosper our path. So with our minds, we believe, but we don't bear long. We don't bear all things. We don't bear all things, and we say we believe, but we don't believe all things. And therefore, we don't live with the hope that the Word of God is going to work for us. It seems that we are warring between two spirits and two different lives. To understand these four terms, bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, I can't help by going to Isaiah chapter 53. If we look at that nature of Christ and His love for us, we should be able to understand those terms and how they should and can work for us in our life on earth through the pattern and the portrait and the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us open Isaiah 53 and let us see if Jesus bare all things, believed all things, hoped all things, and endured all things unto the end. Isaiah chapter 53. And then we can learn from Him how we can do the same. Let us go through verse 3 quickly. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. He had to bear that. His love for us. He came to His own and His own abused Him and rejected Him. But He bare all things. Surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. He bare all things. Why? Because He believed in His cause. He believed in His purpose. He believed that if He borne all of our griefs and iniquities and sin, He will eventually be the captain of our salvation. He believed, and therefore He hoped. He didn't give up. He hoped and He endured until the end. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was rejected. Can you live with the power of rejection from someone you love? Will you be able to bear it? Will your faith in God and His love for you help you through it? Will you endure the agonizing process of rejection? Are you strong enough to endure that process of rejection? Do you believe that God loves you and allowed you to go through that process to refine you and make you even purer than gold for better tomorrow? Do you have that hope in your heart that God is working all things for your good? Are you learning from Jesus and His perfect love for us? He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Do you feel oppressed, afflicted, rejected, dejected?
Whoa.
Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so He opened not His mouth.
Wow.
How often? Of course, because we are not in the strength of Jesus. But as human beings, when things are just falling apart, not going our way, how do we express ourselves?
Open our mouths.
Do we keep our mouths together, or do we open our mouths and express every negative feelings we have within? Don't you think we need those traits of love and quickly? Because if we continue to express our self-centered thoughts and feelings in a negative way, it will affect our health negatively. It will affect our relationship with others negatively. It will affect our workplace negatively. And therefore, it will affect our every aspect of life negatively. We learn from Jesus to bear all things, believe all things, endure all things, and hope for all things. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Perfect in love. Yet he bare all things, believed all things, endured all things, and hoped for good things. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That is the outcome that we should be looking forward to. If we learn to develop the traits of character to bear the cross of Jesus upon us. During time of health, during time of sickness. During time of want, during time of plenty. During the ups and downs of life, remember, God created you with a purpose. And if you trust Him and trust His Word and keep fighting the good fight of faith, the end result that you will prosper. And you will find those traits of character you've developed remarkable benches and foundation for your future prosperity, and not just that, for your health and well-being and longevity. It's an investment in a better tomorrow. And that is what happened to Christ. And that's why Paul said, it's not the knowledge of the gospel. It is not your knowledge of prophecy. It is not your ability to speak in many different languages and tongues. It is the gift of love and the traits thereof that will make you or break you. Do we have it? It continues here about Jesus. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Look at that. The end result of all of this anguish and sorrow and suffering and death is his resurrection and his victory on behalf of all humanity. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You know, when we develop these traits of character early on as children, if you look at the life of Timothy, the Apostle Paul said, and thou hast known the Holy Scripture from a child, which made thee wise unto salvation. At 18 years old, theologians tell us, Timothy was the Archbishop of Rome.
Wow.
He was that wise. He was that knowledgeable. He was able to instruct people much older than him and to earn their love and respect. Every time he opened his mouth, God has given him wisdom far beyond his years. As Eric was sharing today, if sports and Nintendo games and school will give you those traits of character, do more of it. It's true. Do more of it. But if it is stealing those traits of character and giving you the other character, do less of it and more of the other endeavors. Okay? I always tell the people, don't be discouraged, don't be frustrated. The empire of negative living that you have built throughout the years is not gonna crumble in one day unless you are on a hospital bed, completely dependent on someone else to care for you. And you don't want to get there. Because right there, you will need those traits of character to survive. So what I encourage people of doing, less time of this destructive stuff for your own character and more time in the other, and slowly the Holy Spirit will bring things to work in your favor, because Jesus was sanctified on our behalf. That's John 17. And therefore he said, Father, because I sanctified myself on their behalf, you sanctify them by the power of truth. Isn't that wonderful? And that is exactly the gift of it all. So to really get rid of old traits of character and to build new ones is not easy. But it is doable and not impossible. When I did not play soccer for a long time, my body has gone in the complete different phase. Complete different phase. When I went back to play, my mind was alert. My mind was in one place. My body was in a different place. And I felt the aches and the pains and everything came, especially when I went home. Now that can be very discouraging, isn't it? Restoring the system and changing the system can be discouraging. And if I decided, oh boy, I'm getting too old now, I don't think I'll ever be able to exercise again, then my health will begin to take a downhill.
That's true.
And spiritually is the same. When you switch from the carnal and the worldly and the sinful to that which is holy, good, and spiritual, the devil will try to discourage you. As a matter of fact, I have some people who told me what I have experienced. When you switch to the spiritual and you begin to pray, suddenly you fall asleep. Before, people would tell me, you know, I'm having a difficult time sleeping. I play all of these games and I stay up and I go and party and have a difficult time sleeping at night. But suddenly when they switch and go to read the Bible, they tell me that they feel that their mind is heavy. And when they go to sleep, they are so tired, they sleep right away. What a switch, huh? What a switch. Someone does not want to let go. But Jesus said, what is impossible to man is only possible to God. If you give the Lord Jesus the reins over your life, Isaiah 53, the fourth gospel tells us, he has gone through everything on our behalf, that he may impute his righteousness unto us, but we have to ask for it, seek after it, and continuing to knock at the doors of heaven. Verse 12, therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. That is the miracle of transformation. We just give our heart and mind and soul, all of our struggle, just as it is to Jesus. And we do our little part every day. He will do the rest for us until the end of the journey. And he will divide unto us a great portion. That's what we see and what we saw in the life of the Apostle Paul. Transformed. Changed. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressions. So when we try to understand, love bear all things, believe all things, endure all things, and hope for all things, look at the life of Jesus. I need that, don't you? I need that. And you know, Jesus was very honest to tell us, we're going to have some real challenges to our character of love. And he said that these challenges will come first from within and from our own family members. I want to take you there to read it to yourself, because I'm going to be spending more time maybe next week over this issue. How your own self will stand against you to fight against that love of God and the traits of character you need. and how your own family members will also be used by the enemy to either make you or break you. It all depends. Let us open Matthew chapter 8 together. Matthew chapter 8. And let us look quickly. Actually, I encourage you to kind of read all the Matthew chapter 10, not 8. And I want to encourage you to read all the chapter, because that's a chapter of the Great Commission, when God took the disciples, anointed them. Many of them were fishermen, uneducated. Others had some good positions already in government. He took them, anointed them, and began to give them the power. And he kind of warned them that now to change that love of self and love of the pleasures of the world, it's going to be a long journey. And then he alerted them, as I give you the power to tread over the serpent, the scorpion, and all the powers of the enemy, don't just rejoice in that. But keep your mind focused and rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. So the main goal, if you want to develop those traits of love, the main goal, if you are a student, if you're a worker, a manager, whatever your position, any place that you find yourself, your main goal and purpose should be your salvation and life eternal, and the salvation and life eternal of others. You will be building character, and you will prosper. Your grades are not going to be as important, even though you may get A's naturally. But without the stress, without the illnesses, without the sicknesses. You know, it's amazing, when I was in prep, I was in grade 7 when I really began the journey, or 8. It is amazing when Pastor Chance came and held a week of prayer. I told him about my struggles and my frustration and my hurts, and he said, try to pray before you study. I said, listen, I don't understand. The teachers make us feel very stupid. You know, they know about math and algebra and trigonometry. We don't. And I don't know how to understand the things unless someone teach me. And he would say, pray before you study. You know, I used to study very late till 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. It made a major difference. After praying, I keep shocking myself. I knew the secret. That when you pray and trust your heart and mind to the Lord Jesus, He will guide you. And amazing things happen. It is not just that I was able to do my homework. Now my classmates come. Did you do this? How did you do that? I was able to help them. And as I'm helping them, the information is staying longer in my brain. And it's amazing that as I'm helping them, I discover something new. And when I go and take the test, it is there. Receive the power of love. Pass the power of love. You prosper. And then amazing other things happen. Sometimes I learned a lot about the power of prayer, because sometimes I'm going to study and there's a problem that is very difficult. I can't understand it. And I would fight it and fight it. And eventually I give in because I can't understand it. After that, I learned a secret. That when the Lord, after you pray, does not want you to understand it, don't spend time on it. Because it was not on the test. It's just amazing. Amazing what prayer does. When you trust yourself, you will succeed, but you will fail. But when you trust the Lord Jesus over your life, you will prosper, not just academically, but spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, academically, and financially. You will prosper. You will prosper. And you will avoid lots of the traps. So here is Jesus telling the disciples something about what they should be careful of. He warned them, actually. In verse 16, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Well, we don't want to believe that, do we? We don't want to believe that when we go to work, there are wolves there. When we go to school, or when we go to the soccer field to play, that there are wolves there. Trust me, Satan is still alive. And not everyone in church, and not everyone at work, and not everyone at school have really given the heart and mind to Jesus that the Holy Spirit may dwell in them. So while Satan is alive in everybody, we're going to be facing challenges of all kinds every day. We can either fight it with that love of self, within our own merits, and within our own confinement, or we can really fight it through the love of Jesus working in us, for us, and through us unto others. This one worked much better. It works much better. Because today, whether I succeed in achieving something or I fail, it does not affect me. It does not affect me as it used to. Okay. You know, I surprised myself. My starter broke down in my car. In my Camry. And I talked to my neighbor. And he told me what it is. Because he came. I said, is it the battery or the starter? We tested the battery. It's okay. The starter is out. That's going to cost lots of money. And I'm not a mechanic. And so he said, you know, I'm going to show you where it is. And maybe you can try to change it yourself. And I said, And then he showed me where it is, and he said, you know, take this out, and this out, and this out, and put it back together. I never done that in my life before. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray. And I prayed. And I was led to try it on my own. Never tried that in my life before. And I went and I got a starter from the discount store. That was about almost 2 years ago now. And I took everything out. And I said, Lord, give me the brain to remember where to put every bolt. And I took everything out. And very carefully, I removed the starter. Wow. I was very, very thrilled. I have done that myself. And it's amazing. And I went to put the new one in, and I cut my finger, and I cut my hand, and I put dirt all over the place, and I messed up my new clothing. But it was a great joy. After I put everything together, I was really afraid. I did not have confidence in myself that I have done something right. I was afraid once I start something, something is going to go boom. And you know, once I started the car went to start, I got afraid and I turned it back off. Even though the car was just starting.
Wow.
I did not have confidence in myself. But when I started and it worked and I put it in gear and it moved, I praise God Almighty.
Wow.
What is impossible to man is only possible to the Lord. I didn't trust in me. I trusted in the Lord. And you know, I have decided in my mind, if I messed up, I tried. Now it's going to cost me more to go and fix it and take it to a mechanic. So we trust in the Lord and not in ourselves. Everywhere we go, there are going to be obstacles. There are going to be wolves. There are going to be people who try to discourage us, who will be testing our love for God in a very direct way. And Jesus said, be careful, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You know, have you ever seen a rattlesnake when you are approaching and getting close? What does a rattlesnake do?
Rattles.
It rattles. What is it trying to say?
I'm here.
I am here. Don't step on me by mistake. Okay? And you know, if you see the rattlesnake, at the first sight, he is coiling and going backward. Coiling and going backward. I don't want to hurt nobody. Keep your distance. That's what Jesus is saying. Wise is he who sees evil and retreats. If it is bad companionship, bad relationship, if your employer or someone is asking you to do something that will corrupt your character, Jesus is saying, remember, you are surrounded by wolves. Be wise as serpent, but then humble as patient. That's kind of hard, to be as meek as a patient, you know. Patient is not going to hurt anybody. Nothing. So just be as meek. Don't think of yourself too much. This means do not try to take the sword in your hand like Peter.
Yeah.
And fight your own battle. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord. So here the Lord Jesus is warning his disciples that you are ill-equipped. I just anointed you and I just promised you my power. And I know you don't know how to apply it in your life. I just want to warn you that you are not that strong to fight wolves. You got to trust me to do it for you. Just be humble and let me work my own power to change your traits of character and to teach you how to understand things in the right way and how to respond to them in the right way. And it took them 3.5 years to learn that. And it didn't happen until Jesus ascended unto heaven. But it did happen. And you can see the results in Acts 1, 2, and 3. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council and they will scourge you in the synagogue. It happened to them. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that time, in that same hour, what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, listen to this, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now listen, you're going to be dealing with people all the time. Family members, friends, neighbors, employers, employees, teachers, students. You're going to be dealing with people all the way through. And Satan will be trying and testing you all the time, and all the time you will need to respond. Jesus is saying, if you started that day humbling yourself completely and yielding all of your concerns, all of your troubles, all of the things you know and the things you don't know to me in prayer, I will give you rest. And when the temptation comes and the trial comes, even when you cannot recognize it, the Lord Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit will come and give you utterance, guide you unto all truth, and show you the way. You know, many times in my lifetime, people came and asked me for things. And naturally, I would say yes. But because I didn't know their intents, I didn't know their plans, I was led by the Holy Spirit to say no, which is not normal for me to say no. I just said no. That evening or the next morning, I was wrestling with God and I said, you know, Lord, I'm very sorry. I usually say yes. I don't know why I said no. And the Lord let me see it was the Holy Spirit that gave me utterance. And I've seen why it was no. So it is very important to recognize that when we are faced with a trial, with a temptation, with a conflict at home, at work, at school, or in our neighborhoods, let us recognize that, yes, Satan is alive, roaring as a lion, seeking he whom may devour. But let us also remember that God is helping us develop traits of character through his love unto others. So we retreat. We don't say yes. We don't go the wrong way. We say no. And then we come to Jesus and we turn all concerns to him. Because in the next verses, 21 to 23, he's even saying that family members will be betraying family members. If the love of God is not in the heart of all the family members, they will be betraying one another. And it's happening today in many homes. In many homes. And that is kind of sad. And that is something we need to understand. If we are really craving, praying, petitioning, seeking and asking for that love of Jesus and these traits of character to be developed in us, and other family members are seeking after the other love, it's inevitable. Conflict is real. And then your long suffering will be tested. Your kindness will be tested. Bearing all things will be tested. Believing all things will be tested. Enduring all things will be tested. hoping for better things will be tested. But those are the traits of character you need. And then when you are kind and considerate, you pray for other family members. And yes, you need to learn to say no to family members if they are urging you to break the discord of love between you and Jesus. Say no. Love, respect, honor. But your love and respect for Jesus is first and foremost. So learn to say kindly no. Not that you are puffed up or that you are bitter. No.
No
for your own salvation and for the salvation of others. And then continue to pray for them. So I'm not going to read verses 21 to 23. You can read it at home. I'm going to go down to verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, we're very quick to introduce our team members to other people. You know, if we're having coffee with them and we have another friend or a family member comes, say, hey, here's Jake. This is Jake, my buddy and my team member. Not ashamed. Whether you won games together or lost games together, you are fond to introduce your buddy. And people, when they have boyfriends and girlfriends whom they are very fond of, they introduce them. But many Christians are quite ashamed to declare that they are Christians and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, lest they be despised, lest they be rejected. And Jesus is saying, if you will deny my love, how can I help you with my love? How can you develop the traits of character that can really secure your today and prosper your tomorrow? It's your choice. So, we are not also asked here to go and bang people on their heads with the name of Jesus. We're not asked to do that. We are to express our love for them through the love of Jesus when asked, seeked after the knowledge. But here he continues, and in verse 34, that is a hard one here for us. Especially for our family members. Very, very hard to hear those words of Jesus now. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Let me continue and then explain. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's really here the war is over the word love. What Jesus is really saying is what I just have explained. If you really seek after the traits of character that the love of Jesus imparts, and other family members will not, it's unfortunate that conflict will be the outcome. Now, if you decided in the midst of the conflict, I will compromise my love for God in order to accommodate my siblings and my families, Jesus is saying, you've made a choice. I'm not going to condemn you for it, but you are not going to be worthy of my love because you don't want it. You rejected it. In my family back home, and I share that with you in Bible study, we have that pride thing in our family, you know, and maybe in all the Middle Eastern culture. I don't know how much it is in America. We have that pride thing. If my sister ended in conflict with my cousin, my sister come and tell all of us about it, so all of us can unite together against my cousin. Is that in your family as well? I don't know. And my sister want me to take this very hard-hearted approach toward my cousin. I have a good relationship with my cousin. I love to see them. They love to see me. They honor and respect me. I honor and respect them. I love to spend time with them. But here is the pressure. Should I really accommodate my family and compromise the love of God?
No.
And I often say no. So when you say no, you face the ridicule and the hatred of family members. And it happened. It happened. When I told my sister, no, I'm sorry. You have a conflict with my cousin. You can find a resolve to that and I can help. But to ask me to hate my cousin and mistreat her and her children because you have a conflict with her, I cannot do that. And I tell you, there was fire in the household. My oldest brother were there and my sisters were there. One of my older brothers is sitting there and listen, Abraham is a man of God. He's not going to do that. And say, man of God or not, if he puts anyone else over family, he is not part of the family.
Oh.
And the same happens with our neighbors. When my sister or my brother get in conflict with the neighbor, then we have to take arms to support the family pride. Jesus said, be careful. Be very careful. You know, for that, my sister had to raise and encourage my brother to come and fight with me.